Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with mini-series releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have arrived at the church in time to witness the birth of a monster. Richter identified the church as a nexus of power. Caddy got Red to promise that she wouldn't hurt anyone good moving forwards, and Red got Caddy to promise not to die on the claws of an eldritch horror. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
The architect of the doom that came to Helmfirth stands bleeding before you. The rain seems to miss him, curving around the shape of his body as he stands there, grinning a smile so euphoric and satisfied that it's almost sickening to look at. As you see him stand before you, you can see just a series of cuts and slashes. None so deep as to reveal the squishy fleshy bits below, but he's clearly lost a tremendous amount of blood and is incredibly pale. But he doesn't seem to feel it as he stands there, arms outstretched, and kind of looking to you. Having said this, he kind of looks to the sky and puts his tongue out as though to catch the raindrops on it, but they still bend around him.
Caddy will raise a shaking paw and just point at the guy and go, "Red, you can shoot him.
I got this, honey." And she's going to get out of the car.
Cool. He kind of has his arms out. It's a bit of a Shawshank moment for him. But the rain is still missing him. He sort of like, he almost seems to have forgotten the presence of the car. You can see his leg is pretty fucked up from where you hit him. And he begins to limp, kind of dragging his leg, toward, the sort of, inky black womb that surrounds the ruined church.
I would like to grab him by the throat and slam him onto the hood of the car.
Fair enough. Can you go ahead, Claire, and roll me? This is probably going to be a melee. I mean, we could actually, let's just make this a straight strength.
Okay.
Or I'd let you use dex because I feel like you're not, like, he's not resisting. He's mm-hmm. lost a lot of blood and is wandering around in the blood rain, as you do.
That's a success.
Success? Okay, great. So, yeah, he's not offering any resistance, so you're able to spin him around fairly easily, slam him against the car hood. He almost doesn't seem to notice. That sort of sense of euphoria is still there. He looks at you, and the smile doesn't falter, and kind of, despite your hand around his throat, just says, I didn't need to build them. I was so foolish. I simply had to make them. Isn't it beautiful?
Make what?
The things I saw in my dreams. The landscape from beyond. The most perfect non-Euclidean geometry. And architecture. It's perfect, don't you think?
What did you bring here?
He smiles and kind of shakes his head at you in like a, come on, silly, kind of way, and just says, I didn't have to bring anything. It was all already here. I just had to paint it. And he kind of holds up his ruined arms. You can see all the cuts and slashes. He just smiles and says, sculptors often talk about how they merely have to remove the marble and let the true form out. That was true of this whole town. The cathedral, the tower, the mausoleum, they were all already here. I just had to bring them forward.
And how do we put them back?
At that, he looks genuinely confused. And he says, you can't put back what was already here.
I think at this point, Caddy, having overheard this, will like dodge out the door. And he wants to look around to see if there's like physically a painting of some kind anywhere around the dome or the area. Like maybe there's some item attached to this.
Okay. So at street level, there's this sort of big inky black bubble or dome. You can hear the sound of screams in the distance. The rain is starting to let up. It's getting more and more infrequent. As weather patterns are like to do, the clouds are shifting and moving, and it's lightening up a bit. As it does, you can see there are sort of townspeople running around, kind of from shelter to shelter. A lot of sort of scared people hunkering down in buildings. Caddy, in the immediate area, you can't see anything. Richard seems to have just been wandering the streets. Do you think you'd try and get to a higher vantage point? As a cat, you're actually like very capable of vertical movement in a way no one else has been in this game so far.
Yeah, 100%. I think he'd go to the highest point where he could see the most to try to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Okay, so you'd like dart up a fire escape to the top of just sort of, we'll say, like sort of a small apartment building that's nearby, like a four-story apartment building. From the roof, you get a proper view of Helmfirth kind of spreading out beneath you. It is a fucking tremendously strange sight. Can you roll me a spot hidden to see how much information I can give you about what's happening to the town?
Just a second. I rolled the wrong kind of dice.
All good, brother. It's hard when you're a cat. You don't have those opposable thumbs.
It's true. I have a success.
Okay, cool. So there are no paintings in the immediate area. Concerningly, there are new buildings on the skyline. Now, you haven't seen Helmfirth in a while, so it would make sense that the city would be different, or the town would be different than you remember. Massive non-Euclidean Gothic cathedrals made of blood are new. You can see three massive structures that immediately give you a sense of vertigo as you behold them. They don't quite make sense, and they seem to be made almost wireframe. if you can kind of imagine that, of streams of blood that are moving actively, kind of almost in a pulsing rhythm. There are three of these buildings sort of throughout the town. If Richter were up here, he would recognize the sites that had been identified by the mobsters. However, for you, it's just very clear that they kind of form a triangular shape. Like if you were to triangulate it, the church would be at the dead center. These all seem to kind of be at various points. With your success, you can see that there is one in the town square, which makes sense based on what you've heard. There is one kind of in the north of the city, of the town rather, which to your surprise is pink and smooth. And kind of as your eyes adjust, you can see that it is blood-drenched snow. There seems to have been some sort of blizzard effect in the north part of Helmfirth. The last one seems to be half submerged in the water and sort of half on land in the east in the ports.
Okay. With that information, Caddy would definitely just like dash back down the building to where Red's got the guy and be like, okay, so there are three blood castles. There's one in the middle and they're where all the bad things coming. We should go to the town square and you should shoot that guy. And Richter, we got to go to the blood castle. How do you break a blood castle?
Do I have that answer just ready to go for him? I don't think I do. No,
blood castle doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, but you can go ahead and roll me a mythos check. Because now that your brain's just slightly more attuned to these things, it's a little bit easier for you to make these jumps.
Lemon and soda, that's how you get rid of the blood castle. that's an extreme success. That's a 2 that I rolled.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
All right. So you're able to piece together from just kind of... you know, defocusing your eyes a little bit and thinking about it. It would seem that Richard has managed to call forth the some of the architecture that he had planned from another realm. There should be ways to disrupt these things. He's not a spellcaster. He has no real magic. If anything, he seems to have almost been... he's likely been used as a tool of the forces beyond.
He's been worked through.
Yeah, kind of like you can almost think of him as like a prism through which kind of this magic has been able to spread. But the good news for that is it's not like a bunch of warlocks went out into the middle of town and summoned it and put, you know, hexes and runes and protections around it. It's like he literally bled himself to create these things. But that means they will be relatively fragile. To your mind, there should be a way to disrupt each of these focus points, which will hopefully lessen the effect of this. Now, it would be helpful to have some of your gear, because you certainly didn't come armed for this. And given, again, luckily for you in this instance, since he isn't a practicing occultist, you might actually be able to break this stuff with some of the shit you've got at the curiosity shop. Like, this isn't proper. It'd be different if the cult had done it, but because it's just this guy, you might actually be able to break it with some conventional magic. It's like all of the things you've ever studied are coalescing.
Okay, yeah.
Some kind of finale-esque way.
Interesting. Interesting.
Well.
So I will say, well done, little one. Red, we need to get back in the car. We need to go right now. We need to head to any one of these three, what did he call them? The towers, the mausoleum, the cathedral.
The blood castle. There's one in the town square. It's the closest.
Do we need this man?
No, shoot him. Let's go. He's bad.
Richter, do I need this man?
No, he has done his work.
I'll shoot him.
And he just smiles and says, I have. And then the bullet explodes his face. As you do, the blood rain ceases. Dark clouds remain, moving shapes in the clouds. Generally bad news bears.
She is a hero.
We need to get to my shop. All right, guns will do fine with people like Chen here, but we need something more substantial against these blood castles, as you put it.
I would hope we do, and she's getting it back in the car.
Do you have, like, bombs? What do you have?
We will take inventory when we get there.
And so you begin to rip through the streets towards Helmfirth Curiosities. As you approach, Red, you're Red and Addy, or Caddy rather, you'd be kind of up front, I imagine. Can you both roll me spot hidden, please?
Yeah, I think Caddy's default now that Red's done something that demonstrates that she became a hero again, because she did the wrong thing and bad things happened, but she did good things and good things happened, he'll be riding the dash, I think.
Cool. Just
excitedly watching things.
Love it.
That is a very large fail.
Yep. That is an extreme success.
Hey, we balance each other out.
Okay, so Caddy, as you approach the shop that you remember eyeing with you know a deal of, I think, apprehension as a kid, like you were super curious, obviously, but I think it always felt kind of in the realm of adults, but also kind of being a you know. Boy genius, child of science. It always seemed a bit hokey, but your time reading books in there has really kind of turned you around on it. that said, because you were always kind of wary of the place, your immediate instinct kicks in to be somewhat concerned. And as you scan, you see shapes moving inside the shop, and you think you can see a large sort of. Formic or insectoid wing, sort of just for the briefest second above the shop, kind of up over the lip of the roof before it disappears from view.
Okay, keep driving, because there's a giant scary bug on the roof.
And now that he says that, can I see it?
You miss it. Okay. It's one of those things where, like, it's classic horror movie shit where it's like you look and there's nothing there, but. You can see shapes moving in the shop itself.
I thought your shop was protected, Richter. I thought nothing could get in.
Didn't sound like anything was in the shop.
I see some shapes in there moving around.
There was a giant bug wing on the roof, and there's definitely something inside it.
Oh, I did not see it. I'm sorry. Well, we did not leave the protection spell on when we left. It is open to anyone. It is a place of business. I need to make a living.
Well, you're not there. All right.
Okay.
We need the stuff that's in it.
wait. What do you need from inside? Because maybe I could sneak in and get it for you and bring it out, and then you don't have to get attacked.
Do you have some stuff in mind, Tom, or should I just bullshit some cool magic stuff?
I think, generally speaking, what we're looking for is, and I think it's safe to say that, like, Richter would have this sort of stuff. So mm-hmm. I'll tell you kind of the rough vibe of what it is. You can give me the specifics on what we're looking for.
You don't want to be just be like, it's a golden shotgun from Constantine, starring Keanu Reeves.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into a world of darkness and vampires. With Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast featuring Ryan LaPlante as the gangster Ridley Beef, Tyler Hewitt as the conflicted detective Everett Fry, and Megan Miles as the poet Iris Dunn, with storyteller Tom McGee. Join these newly turned vampires as they try to take control of Montreal, but all is not as it seems. And as their humanity slowly slips away, they are forced into increasingly dangerous situations as the streets of the city run red with blood and sticky with syrup. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here. New episodes available weekly. Ha, ha, ha.
Yes, and then I'm going to need the small silver bombs from Priest.
Yeah.
The movie starring Paul Bettany.
And then just whatever's inside those blue capsules Caster Troy takes in Face Off.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, and the green orbs from The Rock.
So UV bullets from Underworld.
Oh my God.
But not from Underworld Evolution.
Blades like weird light Garrett.
Yeah. Oh, Wonder, fuck.
I forgot about UV bullets too.
Wonder Woman's lasso of truth. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. People just hit all the franchises while we are there. It will be a regular Ready Player One. Yeah.
They call this spell breach of copyright.
Ooh.
The IP eclipse.
Oh, damn. Oh, that one.
I may never recover from that.
Yeah, nor should you. That's, oh, good God.
They call that a world killer.
Yeah. Yikes. So, Richter, you're looking for standard objects that would, or probably not necessarily physical objects, but I think these are more consumables. But anything that could be used to ruin a ritual, break a summoning circle, all that sort of stuff. So I think we're talking like holy water or, you know, sand from an ancient temple deep, deep, deep in the desert, like long buried in the Sahara of a forgotten people. The supposed blood of, you know, a high priest of, you know, Akhenaten, yeah. All sorts of weird, like vaguely kitschy shit. But again, it's just all the stuff that would fuck up a spell, because again, without any proper craftsmanship behind this stuff, it all should be fairly volatile. So basically just anything that would overload and break it. It can be an object, but I would say probably lean more towards consumables because that's more fun.
Okay. Then I start describing objects to Caddy. I'll say there is an old ceramic jar. And there is a carving, a design in it. It is of an open, gaping human mouth. It is about a little bit smaller than you. You should be able to find it. Do not pull the stopper off of the jar. That is very important.
Okay. Is there anything smaller than me?
Smaller than you, there is some holy water. It is in the back. It is just a small glass jar of that. It has the Holy Cross on top of it. There is a small pouch of ash. Do not touch the ash. The pouch is just a small purple satin, and it is underneath in a drawer in the front counter. Are you going to remember all of this?
Yeah, there's the small pouch under the counter. It's purple. And then there's the holy water in the back of the cross. And then there's some sort of jar with a mouth on it that's probably too big for me to carry out. So I'm hoping you have more options.
Red, can you roll me a... what is the... I want to say sleight of hand. Is that a thing? Yeah, sleight of hand, please.
Success.
Great. It's not your first time trying to figure out how to smuggle a thing out of a place. You kind of quickly managed to put together a little kind of like satchel mm-hmm. that you can tie to Addy that'll let you basically backpack the jar.
Great.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I got to get the mouth jar, the purple pouch, and the holy water. Anything else?
Anything else?
I think it would make sense to not have backups for this. So that would.
Yeah.
Okay. So no, that makes perfect sense. Okay. Three things. So I'm thinking if you want to go somewhere near, I can run away if things go bad and Red has a gun. So just let me know where the gun is and I'll run towards the gun.
Should we enter through the back?
Wait, why are you coming?
Well, should you enter through the back?
Oh yeah, that makes sense to me. I don't want to try the front.
All right, then we should go to the alley, or you should stay in the car, Richter, and make sure that we have a quick getaway.
Yeah, I will stay in the car.
small creatures that may or may not be Addy, there is a phrase that you can say that may come in handy. The shop is enchanted. It's a protection spell. If you say, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio, things should not be able to get in or out. Use that however you see fit.
Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be careful where and when you say that. I do not know what will happen to you if you are halfway across the threshold or something like that.
And do not lock yourself in there where I can't get to you.
Okay, what if I turn it on? How do I turn it off again?
Same phrase.
Okay. This is good.
No, it's not, but it's the best we have.
All right, Caddy, you approach the back door of the shop. Go ahead and roll me that sweet, sweet stealth check there.
Oh, yeah, baby. That is a hard success, a 14.
Triple zeros. So that's either the best or worst of rolls.
That's the best of rolls. Yeah. Oh, no, that's the worst. 100. That's 100.
Yeah. So that's what I thought. Just want to confirm. Big old so ugly. You fun. Are in good shape. You slip into the shop and you can immediately smell just kind of an earthy scent on the air. Just kind of a almost a fungal spore smell, which to your cat senses is like magnified by a tremendous factor. The shop itself is dark. There aren't any lights on. But as you begin to creep in, you can hear the sound of movement. Worth noting, not footsteps, but the soft padding sounds of movement, but almost like slippered feet.
Hmm.
All right, Romeo, we'll get listen this check.
Yeah, we can do a listen check. I'm down. That is a success.
Cool. You can tell that it isn't bipedal. So it's not, you know, left foot, right foot.
It's not,
it's kind of like sounds. Left foot, right foot, right foot, left foot, right foot.
Okay.
Drunk.
Yeah. His drunk focus tap dancer. Right out the gate, because he's in the back, is to get the holy water, because that's the thing that's in the back. The smallest thing. Because he can get the holy water in the back, then he can go for the pouch. And then he can get the giant thing in his backpack last, because that feels like the highest risk.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Let's go with a spot hidden, but I'll give you advantage so you can reroll your tens.
Weird thing about that, Tom, is I already have advantage on spot hidden.
Well, we got a badass cat over here. All right, fair enough. So just the one advantage. Go fuck yourself.
Cool. That is a hard success.
Great. So, yes, it's very easy to find the holy water. You got to kind of move some stuff out of the way, because I feel like Richter doesn't put a whole lot of stake in you know, church relics. This almost seems like I have to have this. It's just a thing people expect when they come to the store. Yeah, sure enough, it's there. There's a thick layer of dust on it, but you manage to slide it into your harness.
Then he would go for the pouch. Pouch is number two. So okay. He's got to sneak into the front, but he's got to be extra sneaky.
Yeah, so stealth again, please. I'm going to give you two rounds of me not rolling because I fumbled. Fumbled real hard.
Fair enough. That is a hard success on the stealth. He's kitted out for two skills, the best. Stealth and spot hidden. He is a cat.
All right. Well, so far, so good. You start to make your way into the shop proper, and you can still hear these padded footsteps. As you come out of the back, though, you can hear that there are several pairs of them. In different spots. So it's not one creature, it is several creatures throughout the store. You can hear the buzz and whine of insects. rather loudly.
Okay, he's going to stay low and small. Can he see the drawer where the pouch is?
Yes, you'll have to jump up to reach it, though.
Okay, he's gonna like steel himself and think in his head, like, you can do this. You're backing up your heroic friend, and that old man who seems to think you're a demon sometimes. You can do this, and he'll jump for it.
We've all seen cats attempt this, just that like estimation of like from here to there. I bet I can. Maybe I can't. Fucking doing it.
But yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So go ahead with a jump, please.
Okay, that is a hard success.
You land with feline elegance on the counter and kind of quickly skitter kind of down into the drawer. As you do so, you see a shape move by, sort of large leathery insectoid wings, an elongated body, six pairs of legs, and a sort of orb-shaped head that has little tiny mandibles that are clicking and buzzing, that seems to be examining the book that you left on the floor with great interest.
He's not happy. He has bigger, more scared eyes, but he just wants to get that pouch and go.
Cool. So you grab the pouch, and the last thing remaining you can see on a shelf just past where this creature is, high up on a high shelf, is the mouth jar.
Okay. Then I think there's probably two steps to this journey. Step one is jumping onto that shelf high enough he can just walk over. And step two is sneaking over to the thing. He's gotta get him done.
Yep. So give me that sweet, sweet jump.
That is a hard success.
You leap, land on the shelf, and there's a hot Jackie Chan second of, a skull candle holder almost falling off, but you manage to reverse cat and just push it back on. Oh. It goes against all of your feline instincts to not just shove it off to the...
Yeah, you see him like look at his paw and he has to fight it for a minute.
Yeah, it's a full Dr. Strangelove situation. So you managed to stop that. From up here, you can see that there are three of these creatures moving throughout. I'm going to need you to roll sanity check, sir.
Okie dokie. Sanity. I want to roll over or under. I can never remember.
I believe you want to roll
always under. Yeah, everything is a target to roll under.
Great. Yeah. Then yeah, man, nailed it. Super sane. I was a ghost in a tummy earlier. This is fine. That's just a bug.
Amazing. Lose 4 points of sanity.
Still. Could have been eight. Bugs are bigger than I thought when you're a cat. I think.
Better you than Richter at this point.
Yup.
So you begin to creep, having kind of taken your moment of like, okay, this is what we're dealing with. You begin to creep towards the jar. Go ahead and roll me stealth, please.
That is a success.
Excellent. Can you roll me a listen check, please? As you creep along the top of the shelf towards the jar.
Oh man, that's a big old not success. That's a failure.
Okay. The humming is getting louder from these insects, almost overwhelmingly so. And there's something comforting about it. You find yourself getting a little sleepy, a little distracted, and then you reach the jar. I'm just going to need a straight dex check from you, sir, to see if you can manage jar into backpack while being lulled.
Dex check is a success.
All right. You very like Indiana Jones style, there's like, you know, your little paws, like the little cat pads moving. You slide the jar into your bag, sling it back across your back. You're not too far away from the front door. But you could also try and go back out the way you came. How do you want to try and get out of here?
How many bugs are between me in the back or me in the front?
They're kind of in the middle of the store. So if you fuck up going either direction, they're relatively close. There are three, though. So there's kind of one near the back, one near the front, and the one that's closest to you that's reading the book is closer to the back.
Okay, he's going to go for the front just because there seem to be fewer bugs and he can book around the building if he needs to.
Okay. All important stealth check, my good sir. Let's see if you can get out of here.
Okay, that is a hard success.
Amazing. So you land silently, and you do that cat thing where you like when cats are trying to cross the street. Well, if you take a few steps into like admittedly a dangerous zone, give that quick look around, and then it's like fast cat walk. You bump into the door, to step out into the street. At which point, the bell hanging above the door jingles, and the buzzing goes silent as 8 pairs of insectoid eyes turn towards you, and the creatures begin to lunge and leap. What do you do?
I jump out the door and yell, "Alas, poor York, I do, I'm Horatio!"
And with that, the door slams in the face of the attacking Migos. And you think in your head as this happens, you hear what could be words saying, "We must find the agent. Nalarthotep demands it. The old one must not escape." And someone else is like, "Thanks, Jerry. The door is fucking locked, though." With that, you book it back away from the shop. Looking back once over your shoulder to see the sentry on the roof who rolled 100, staring completely the wrong direction. And if an insect can look it, looking very satisfied with his work.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire on Friendly, Great Dane, Acrix, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.